You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
Providing support for them to feel comfortable only helps them get involved. When a dad is more involved, it means a mum feels more supported. When a mum's more supported, the whole family unit, like... feels better, and suddenly you get better family outcomes.
But before all of that,
this episode of the Net Mums podcast is brought to you by Kiddylicious, yummy snacks for little ones from 6 months to 5 years.
Brilliant for weaning babies and growing children, Kiddylicious snacks help with self-feeding and developing pincer grip and hand-to-mouth coordination.
With an allergen-friendly range, there's something for everyone, plus they keep your little one's hunger at bay.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode. Now I don't know about you, but I'm baffled as to where the heck 2023 has gone. It seems like 2 minutes ago that I was hungover making New Year's resolutions and longing for spring and daffodils, and now it's pumpkins and bonfires and my eight-year-old demanding that she can wear tights. And I don't know. I swear the years go by faster as you get older, and that means I now sound like my mum. Do you feel the same?
I think it's an age thing. I feel like when we were younger, years stretched out in front of us, and it just like seemed to take. And like summer just lasted for ages. And now I'm so with you. Like, where has September gone? Like, it went by in a flash, and now it's nearly October half term, and the kids are going to be off again. It's like they've just gone back to school. How are we at October half term already? So I'm interested to know what our guest today thinks, because he's got three kids. They're not all at school, but I'm going to grill him a little bit on this, because today on the podcast we are welcomed by someone who will be a familiar face if you have young children, because he's a regular on CBeebies. Nigel Clark is a presenter on The Baby Club and The Toddler Club, and he's set to appear in the legendary CBeebies panto this Christmas.
Oh, no, he isn't.
Nigel also runs...
Yes, I am a twit. I know.
Oh no, he isn't. Nigel also runs Dad Community Dadventures and hosts the award-nominated Dadventures podcast. Nigel, a warm welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, wow, what an intro! I'm doing quite a bit of stuff.
You're a busy guy.
busy. Yes.
The panto questions are. Scheduled. I need to know about the panto. I am one of those people. I blimmin' hate panto. I'm like,
oh, I love them.
Oh, really?
I'm the panto Grinch.
Wendy, wow. We can be friends.
Are we allowed to know who you are in the panto?
I don't know. So to be safe, I'm not going to tell you who I am.
No, you know what? Because you won't have recorded it by the time this goes out. So let's just to be safe. Let's
by
not.
By the time this goes out, we will be in rehearsals. I'll be thick in the middle of rehearsals.
Oh, it's so exciting. I was going to say this for later, but we went to the CBeebies panto last year when it was in Eastbourne. I took my little kids.
Ah.
It was incredible.
It's good, isn't
it was
it?
So much fun.
It is.
Just slick, professional Christmas magic. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, we have loads of fun. But it all gets put together so quickly. You saw it and you saw a well-oiled machine. But we'd only been doing it for like a week. A week before, we didn't know our lines.
Just goes to show how professional you are.
Well, yes, it does. Yeah, let's leave it.
Or you're flying by the seat of your pants. That's probably more like it.
Because isn't Chris Jarvis like the producer?
He's the director. Am I right? He's the director.
Director.
Yeah, he directs him. So he's done the last two he's directed, and then the one before that he was in. So he's gone from being in it to now directing it, and I think this is his third one that he's directed. Yeah,
amazing. He's a multi-talented guy.
He's a legend.
On screen,
he
off screen.
He is he's a friend of mine, and he's the sort of person you can call in any situation, and he'll just like chill you out and be like, here's a little bit of advice, take it, leave it, you know, whatever. He's just that kind of father figure. He's like a great kind of father figure. He's an amazing guy.
That's so nice to hear, because it's horrible when you hear about people who are lovely on screen and then you hear that they're an absolute nightmare behind the scenes and they're awful, awful, terrible people.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens. But luckily at CBeebies, it seems to not happen. Everyone who works there is genuinely lovely. And I think that's because we love the work we do. Like, it really resonates with us. So we care about it. We care about the audience. So it just means that the people who are involved in it have a different, there's a different ilk.
Imagine if he'd said, actually, they're all really nasty. Like, that would have broken my CBeebies bubble.
My doorbell's just gone. Hang on 2 seconds.
Oh, sorry. Maybe it's the CBeebies Panto Father Christmas arrived to deliver something for you.
Yeah, let's be honest, it's Amazon. We all know it's Amazon.
Oh, what's she been ordering? Let's see. Let's see.
Let's
do you know what it was? It was the postman delivering a Taylor Swift themed mug that I've ordered for my best friend's birthday. So
wow, the present. But wait, hold on. Hopefully, her birthday's before this goes out.
I'm seeing her at the weekend. It's good. We're safe. Good. It's all good.
Okay, cool.
I was going to say when I did the intro and I mentioned the baby club, it's really hard to say the baby club without singing it. I nearly said the baby club, yeah.
You should have sung it.
Do you find yourself?
The baby club, yeah, the baby club.
The baby club. Do you find yourself breaking into song, like, when you're talking about it?
Well, he just did!
I kind of made him break into song, to be fair, Wendy.
You kind of have to sing it. You can't. It doesn't work as well unless you sing it.
It's honestly one of those programs where when it's on, I think because it does, like, replicate what we do in real life as parents, as mums, it just feels like such a lovely thing to watch with our kids.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. This will make you laugh, Nigel, because I didn't. My kids are 12 and 8, so we're a bit past the baby club. Yeah. But I sat there last night watching, at 9:30 last night, watching the baby club, because I was like, well, I can't interview.
Got to do a little bit of research. Come on now.
So I was doing my research and I was thinking if
was it the Giovanna years or was it the Gemma years?
It was the Gemma years.
Okay, some toddler club action. And what did you think?
Well, I just thought that if anyone walks into my house right now, they're going to cart me off because it's 9:30.
Because you're up singing and dancing.
And I'm watching the baby club. Oh. Anyway, fatherhood, Nigel.
Yeah.
What kind of dad are you? If I went to your kids now, first of all, tell us about your kids and then tell us what kind of dad you are.
Okay, so I've got 3 kids now. I have a 15-year-old boy, a 14-year-old girl, and an 11-month-old baby. So I've got a bit of a spread. I think my kids would say that I am an interested and concerned parent, probably, because I take an interest in what they do and I'm always talking to them about whether that be school or their interests or, you know, whatever it is, or TikTok or whatever they're into. I take an active interest in it because I feel like I need to be part of it to understand it, to understand what they're thinking about things, to then be able to parent as best I can. So I think I'm quite a hands-on dad. A hands-on dad, but I'm also a fun dad. I do get told that, yeah, dad, you're quite fun. You do things that other parents and other dads don't do, but we like it, so it's all good.
That's so good. And has your time at CBeebies influenced the way that you parent, do you think? I mean, do you find yourself asking, what would Mr. Tumble do, like, when you're about to lose your rag with them?
Not in that way. I tell you, it definitely affected the way I parent. But I would say more, it's after doing the baby club, because I did a whole course, like, to become a peak practitioner, to be able to deliver the what we do, like a baby club. And learning all about that and why you do certain things, what you're teaching children, what they're learning, what's going through their heads, how kids react, and all of that has definitely made me more aware of things. And with baby, especially with baby now, I think my head's in a total different place where I can go, okay, no, you're doing this because of this. So if I try this, maybe we can figure something out.
Do you ever feel kind of guilty? Guilty is probably the wrong word, but aware of how different you're parenting your youngest compared to the older two.
Parent guilt is a thing. That's like a through vein of parenting, parent guilt. I wouldn't say I feel guilty. I just try and adapt as and when you feel things. So, but I did that before even baby came along. So from first to second, second to third, you realize, oh, you can't do something a certain way because you've got another child there and you need to make it fair, or you need to make it make them both feel valued. So with that in mind, I think I've always kind of been this kind of parent that's adapting all the time, because I think you, as parents, we do need to adapt all the time, not just because of the way they are, but the way the world is as well. It's just changing all the time. So I've not been one of those parents that's like kind of stuck in their ways and said, oh, this is the only way. No, we have to adapt and we have to keep moving and kind of growing with them and growing as parents.
You talked about the age gap between your daughter and your son and your littlest one. And Alison is another large age gap parent. She's got 8 years between her eldest and her twins. So we get what it's like. How is it for you? What do the bigs think of the little? Does the little adore the bigs, as is usually the way?
I think it for us, it's both ways. It's a totally different way of parenting when you've got older siblings. We know that we can give him to one of the older siblings to feed him a bottle, or to just feed him, or to hold him and play with him while somebody does some cooking or has a shower, or one of them can cook while we're looking after baby. There's that whole dynamic where you've got so many more hands on deck that makes it a totally different experience. But as you know, a baby takes all the focus in a family. And yep. That focus kind of brings everyone together. So we've got a family WhatsApp group with the older kids. And if something happens, like say I'm out with baby, I'll put it in the WhatsApp group and then they're all in there commenting. Or if they're out with baby, they'll be like, oh, look what he did today, da da da, and it's all in the group. So there's a whole communication that I think is closer. And I know a lot of people talk about their teenage kids and how they don't see them, they don't talk to them and all of that. I think us being in this situation where we've got a baby there, that has lessened, I think, because they want to be involved. Because mum and dad are fully involved with baby, they can't really be, oh, I'm up in my room playing the computer. It's like, oh, I want to come and see my little brother and be around. And, oh, look, he's walking for the first time. And they want to be around it. So there's, I think it's maybe helped with that as well.
That's so interesting. Because my eldest being eight when we had, she had twin sisters that were born, I worried that at a time when she still needed us, eight is still little,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I felt really guilty that suddenly we were consumed by these two little things. But actually now, like 5 years on, I feel like what you're saying, I feel like it probably has changed things for the better. You know, it has brought us together and created this whole new family dynamic, which is really lovely.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The dynamic totally changes. I mean, any family dynamic changes when you have a baby, whether it's your first or your second. Bring a new baby into the household and suddenly dynamic has changed, shifted. We've got to adapt. What's going on here?
But was there must have been stuff about those newborn little baby days that you'd forgotten or blanked out that kind of hit you back around the face pretty hard?
Yeah,
when
I mean,
newborn landed.
Yeah, totally. You kind of have left that world of nappies and night feeds and crying all the time and all of that. But I think muscle memory kicks it back in so swiftly. You suddenly know, whoa, I know exactly how to hold this baby. I can hold it with one hand over here while I'm doing, you know, all of the things and skills that you had before or learnt before, they come flooding back. Almost automatically. It's almost like instinct a little bit. It was for me anyway. It suddenly all felt very comfortable in the again for me.
That's a relief. Now I get asked quite a lot whether our twins were planned. Because there was such a big age gap, did you and your wife always know that you had one more in the pipeline, so to speak, or was it a bit of a happy surprise?
No, we totally knew there was probably one more in the pipeline. It was totally planned. Melina was early 20s when we had our first two, so even then I knew that it was probably going to come back around later on. I was like nearing my 30s and I had older friends and I was like, hold on, this is definitely coming back around in 10 years or more. So always expected it and planned it, actually planned it, yeah.
What do the kids think of you being on CBeebies? Obviously, slightly different reactions, but do the teenagers, are they a bit over it? And is the little one like, oh my God, it's Daddy?
Funnily enough, the teenagers aren't totally over it. They think it's pretty cool. And with
I love your teenagers.
With the CBeebies panto, I mean, they come to the cinema with me to watch it when it premieres. I think there's the other side of it that they can enjoy. So they get to meet the people who are in it. Or so they can sit down with me and Chris and be like, oh, how was it making it? So there's a different angle to it. Yes, you get to watch it, but you also get to talk to the people who are in it and they're your mates and your family mates kind of thing. So there's a different angle to it. So the big ones love it. And little man, he's just getting into the whole CBeebies thing. I mean, he'll sit there and watch a Baby Club episode. Of course he will. And he loves it when all the songs come on. Stick on some Dougie. He'll love that. Theme tune of Go Jetters. He's well into that. He'll be dancing along. So yeah, he's getting into his CBeebies right now. And the kids, I think, like I said, yeah, it's just that access that they have to it that other people don't, that makes it kind of cool for them.
Half term is coming up, Alison, and you know what that means, don't you?
Yes, Wendy, it means not only entertaining our kids, but also putting up with our many snack demands.
Exactly that. My kids seem to request snacks on a half hourly basis. Where do they put it all?
Well, your kids are a bit older now, but my four-year-old twins love the new Kiddylicious veggie straws. They're for kids aged 3 and older, and they're available in flavours that pack a punch, including pizza and salt and vinegar.
They sound delicious and ideal for lunchboxes and snacks on the go.
Yep, and best of all, they're free from artificial colours, flavours and preservatives.
Another great option is Kiddylicious apple crisps. They're baked, not fried, which means they're low in saturated fat. You can choose between original apple or cinnamon flavours.
Pick up yummy Kiddylicious snacks in the baby aisle of all major supermarkets and find out more at kiddylicious.com. So let's talk about Dadventures. Mm. Now, if you'd asked me a few years ago, I'd have said, oh, dads don't need any help. It's us mums who need it. But partly from listening to you talking about it, I've had my mind changed. Tell us why it's so important.
Right. The landscape for parenting has totally changed. 100% changed in the last 50 years or so. So if you look back when our parents were parenting us, there was that whole dads would be at work a lot more, mums would be at home with the babies and the kids, and that was kind of the staple. Now, mums want to work as well. Dads want to be at home looking after the kids and being involved. So the whole way we are with our families has changed. And because of that, men haven't had a model to look at as much. They haven't seen their uncles, their dads, the men in their life parenting, especially in the early years, being there, doing the feeds, looking after baby and all of that. So not having had that, some men are a little bit lost. They're like, whoa, hold on, what do I do? Help, please. I do want to get involved. I just feel a bit awkward and I don't know, am I doing it right and all of that. And with that in mind, when they turn to the resources, it's really mum heavy, which is great. There's loads of help for the mums. But they feel a bit awkward in that space because they feel like the person in the back of the class or the person who's going to ask a question, and should I ask this question because maybe everyone will think I'm silly. There are no silly questions, but we know how that can feel. So providing support for them to feel comfortable only helps them get involved. When a dad is more involved, it means a mum feels more supported. When a mum's more supported, the whole family unit like feels better, and suddenly you get better family outcomes. And that is kind of why I founded Dadventures, to support dads on their parenting journey, so that at the end of the day, it's not just the dads we want to help. We're helping the families, Helping the dads helps the families. And to help the dads, we need the mums. And I called it Dadvengers, and I want to explain this because it's kind of a weird way of thinking, but it works. You call something a mummy group, all the mums come. You call something a parenting group, all the mums come, all the dads think it's a mums group, so they don't go. You call it a dad's group, the dads go, and the mums are curious about it anyway. If they're allowed to, they come along as well, so it becomes family. So I've had, that's why I've called it Dadvengers. It's actually a family thing. It's actually a family situation. But as soon as you put it as family or parenting or label it that, it becomes mum heavy. You label it a dad thing, mums aren't, they're not scared to get involved in the dad thing. They'll be like, all right, let's see what's going on here with you lads. What's going on?
So true.
So
you said you faced many of the stigmas present in modern day fatherhood. Tell us about what you mean by that.
I mean, when I talk to the dads in on the different groups and walks and meetups that we have, you mean the stories of a dad going out with their child to the supermarket or wherever, to the playground, and the amount of dads that will be able to tell you someone came up to them and went, oh, mummy's you babysitting, mummy's you know. And no, we're not babysitting, we're looking after our kids. And that's the first one. That one always happens, left, right and center. But the other things, and I'm not trying to rile anyone up here, is that as mums sometimes, because we are used to doing things, we're used to changing nappies, used to feeding baby, when a dad gives it a go, if he's struggling, right, instead of letting him struggle and letting him figure it out and being like, yeah, you're on your own, mate.
Mum jumps in.
Let me do that. I'll finish that for you. I'll do it. Don't worry. Oh, you're making a hash of it.
Back off, ladies. Back off.
Mum's had to learn how to do it. Mum's had to learn how to do it. Yeah. So you, if you want that help, if you want him to be able to help you more and be more supportive, let him struggle his way into it.
That's so true, because like we as you know, any parent, whether it's mums or dads, when you've got a newborn, you don't get everything right first time. You've got to learn how to change a nappy, all of those things.
Yeah, we all have to get it wrong to be able to get it right regularly.
When my oldest, who's now 12, was a baby, I don't know where I was. My husband had her and I was somewhere and he rang me and he said, what do you do when she's pooed on the bin? And I was like, what do you mean? And basically she'd done that baby thing where she was on the changing mat and she'd done a squirty poo that had squirted all the way across the kitchen and gone all over the bin. And I was like, what you do, my darling, is you put the baby in the bath and you clean the bin. But it was that thing of it was really funny because he had to deal with it on his own because I wasn't there. But had I been there, I guarantee I'd have gone, oh, for God's sake, picked the baby up. I'll do
exactly. Exactly.
And you're so right. We're our own worst enemies, actually.
Yeah. So that's another of the things. It's about giving men that space to learn the job, to learn the parenting job. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. It's so interesting, though, like hearing you talking about how the landscape has changed. I have noticed such a big difference in how hands-on dads are. So 8 years ago, when my eldest was in reception starting school, there were zero dads in the WhatsApp group, the class WhatsApp group. And now I'm in two WhatsApp groups for each twin. And there are loads of dads in each of them getting involved in like my child's lost his cardigan and all of that stuff. You know, is that a trend that you are seeing, like talking to all of the dads in your community? Are you seeing that played out elsewhere, and why do you think it is happening?
Definitely seeing dads getting much more involved on, and like you say, it's not like they haven't been involved, but vocally involved. So they're putting the messages in the WhatsApp group, they're actively participating and vocalizing and communicating. I think personally, and nobody really knows why it is, I think it's because slowly it's not seen as being, one, it's not seen as being a mum thing, but it's not seen as not masculine to be involved with your kids. I think in years gone by, a man being actively involved in changing nappies and getting involved in the school run and talking about him lost his cardigan, like you go to work and say you got involved in that, somebody's going to turn to you. This is back in the day and be like, what are you chatting about, mate?
They'd be like, shouldn't your missus be doing that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, shouldn't you be down at the football? Like, but that way of thinking and that it, we all know now, that's wrong. So it's become a much more comfortable space for men to be able to talk about that and do that.
So one of the core values of Dadvengers is to share knowledge, which is something stereotypically perhaps us women are better at.
You're great at it. Yeah, yeah, you guys are great at it.
But why is that such a huge part of Dadvengers? Why is there such value in teaching fellas to get a bit better at it?
Okay. To properly give you an sort of why that is, you have to look at the stats. So in this country, we have a lot of people take their own lives. Up to, I don't know in front of me, but it's near 20,000 a year, let's say. 75% of that figure is men. And a lot of the time, that is a result of the fact that they haven't been able to talk about things. They feel a lot of pressure. They haven't shared things. The pressure builds and builds and builds and builds and builds till they feel they can't cope. And then it leads to these situations. So if we're going to combat that and bring that figure down, because no matter how many men are taking their own lives, a lot of those are going to be dads. Because the age bracket that it's most prevalent in is 45 to 54. So if we're going to change that, we need men to talk. We need them to be able to share, to be comfortable to share. Because it's like a pressure cooker. If human beings don't release the pressure that they may be under, it builds and builds and builds and then it explodes. Whereas if we are able to talk, able to release that pressure, able to be a bit vulnerable, able to share problems, able to ask for help, then in the long run, we combat that. And we have more dads that are here that may have decided to not be here.
And are you seeing the benefit of that within your community? Like, do you see, you know, the effect that...
Yeah,
that
we do see the effect.
When dads are sharing.
Yes, 100%. If you asked any of the dads in our that come to our walks and things, they'll tell you how they just feel less isolated because of our group. They feel like they can turn to people. They feel more engaged with their family. There's so many different answers that people will give you, but they're all geared towards them feeling more comfortable and better in the situations. Definitely. 100%.
That's good. So we're in October now, Nigel, which is Black History Month. Woo-hoo. And lots of schools will be talking about it. But arguably, it needs to be talked about all year round. What changes would you like to see made with talking to kids about Black history?
Yeah, this is a great topic to talk about. One, I am in 100% agreement with you. It's great to have a Black History Month, but we shouldn't have to have a month. It should just be part of the curriculum, like throughout the year, dotted through. And hopefully we'll get to that point. We start with the Black History Month and then people understand and they learn and we get there in the end. So hopefully it's a process to get there. For me, what I'd like to see change, and I talked about this with Troy Deeney, a footballer, who did a documentary on Channel 4 about what our government recommends to our schools as what we should be teaching our children about Black history and Black role models and icons. They recommend one book. There are a plethora of books, but they recommend one book. And there's a really jarring photo that they did on this documentary of Troy Deeney with two bookcases. One bookcase has what the government recommends that the school should be teaching. And it's got this one book on it. On the other shelf, you've got all the books that like have Black content in there and history and knowledge in there. You've got like hundreds of them. And that is the starkness of the situation. So, but the thing is, I don't want to bash all schools and all teachers, because you do get teachers out there that know that, and they will make sure that they start using those books. But they're taking it on their own initiative. And thank you to those teachers that are taking it on their own initiative. What we would love is for the government and the education system to be like, actually, we'll take this on and we'll help the teachers by saying these are good things, use these resources. So for me, that's what needs to change. And people need to also not be afraid of it. It can be a scary topic to talk about, and people think, am I doing this right? Am I being politically correct about this? Am I using the right terminology? And that sometimes stops people from talking about it. I think people need to feel comfortable to make mistakes. No one's going to judge you if you make a mistake and go, oh, I didn't know that. Hands up. Thank you for teaching me. What else can I learn? That is a way better place to be than I'm not going to say anything in case I make a mistake.
Yeah. So I'm going slightly off piece now. I want to talk to you about Stomp. Because I love Stomp. So obviously you were in Stomp, which is just one of the best musicals ever. And your kids are into performing and gymnastics and stuff, I think, as well. So yeah. Have you encouraged them to follow that path, or is it something that's happened naturally?
Yes and no. So what happened is, and what I did with both of my children, and probably will do it with Cassius as well, is I let them try lots of things when they were young. So Rory did ballet, tap. He did swimming, gymnastics. He did a musical instrument. And he got to experience. And same with Sienna. She got to experience lots of different things. When I found something that I didn't have to ask them to do, when you don't have to say, go and practice this, or when you find that they're at home on the sofa doing it, like for an hour, when you haven't asked, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one where you go, okay, cool. Let's get you some more lessons in that. Seeing as you're having so much fun doing it, let's go down that route. So for Rory, it was gymnastics. For Sienna, it was dance and singing and theatre and performing and all of that. And they both still love them, and they both, you know, get involved with them without much complaint. You'll get a complaint when they're really, really, really tired, but that's just because they're tired, not because they don't. A day later they're like, oh, can I do this? And you're like, yep, yeah, go for it. So I think, but that's from the ethos that I take for life. If you can love what you do, it's not a job anymore, it's not a chore anymore. So I've kind of tried to go down that route with them, and that's what I try and tell them as well when they think about what they're going to do for jobs and things later on, or what they want to work in industry-wise. I try and say, look, as long as you love it, you can make money doing anything these days. You can make money playing computer games if you love it, designing computer games, cooking, doesn't matter. Whatever you love doing, probably concentrate on that and think of a way to work in that way, because you'll be hopefully a happier individual as you grow older.
Well, and you'll be better at it, because if you love it, you're naturally better at the things that you enjoy.
Yeah, because you put the time in. Even if you don't start off better, you put the time in and you become better. So
Finally, Nigel, if we could rebrand fatherhood in some way with the wave of a magic wand, a pantomime magic wand, what would you change about the way that we see dads?
That's a toughie.
It is a toughie. We need to see them as part of the team. A team is all about helping each other. So we need to help them. And this brings me to like, how Dadvengers engage with most of their dads. 90% of the dads that are involved with Dadvengers were recommended by a mum, dropped off by a mum, take care of this one for me, please. 90% of the dads that get involved have been sent to us by a mum. And that just shows you, those are mums who have realised, hold on, I'm helping myself to help this dude. So they have said, here's some good help for you. and then that's improved their lives.
With your magic wand, we should also rebrand men as a species to be just a little bit more okay with admitting that they need some help, maybe?
Yes, totally. And they do need help. They 100% need help.
We all need help. That's right? The point.
This is it. But as soon as you say to a man he needs help, he'll be like, no, I don't need help, right?
It's toxic masculinity, isn't it? Yeah. Essentially. What it boils down to, Nigel, it's the patriarchy. This is the problem.
God, this is all
going to
get deep for Thursday
no,
morning.
No, but no, you're right. You're right. As soon as you... But that's why, I mean, you know from looking at our website what the ethos of Dadventures is. And theoretically, from if you listen to this podcast back, I've talked about mental health, and we are really mental health help for men, but we never ever say that to the men. We don't brand it as that. We don't say, come along to our walks, it's going to help you with your mental health. We don't say, come along to our meetups because it's gonna, you know, no, we never say that. We just say, come along and
this will really make you laugh, Nigel. Something I wrote about years ago, I was helping a brand promote something and they had something called Andy's Man Club.
Yeah, it's huge now.
And Andy's Man Club met in a shed. And basically, Andy convinced these men that it was cool and it was all okay because they were meeting in a shed drinking beer.
Yeah.
But it was a men's mental health group in a shed. And it's all about how you brand it. It's all it is.
It is totally about how you brand it. With men, it's all about how you brand it. If you brand it as mental health help, you'll get a lot of... Some men will be fine. Some men will be like, actually, let me investigate this. Let me go forward and try this out. But a lot of them will be like, oh, no, I don't need any help. I'll be fine. And then they're gone. When really they probably did need the help, or they didn't even realise they needed help. But send them into a group.
I love it.
Yeah, that's the deal.
It's genius. It's genius. Nigel, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been such a wonderful chat. It did get deep a little bit towards the end there, but it's good. It's all good.
No. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. You guys are great. Thank you for spreading the word about like Dadventures and men and the help that we're providing, because it's really, really important.
And as soon as you know what you are in the panto, we want to know.
I know what I am. I'll give you a clue.
As soon as you're allowed to tell us.
I'll give you a clue. Right. So you know we're doing Robin Hood. I am in the forest. I'll put that there. Yeah, I would say I hang out or live in the forest.
Are you good or bad?
And I'm good. I'm a goodie. I'm a goodie. And
I think you might be in the band of merry men, or you are like a fox or some sort of woodland animal or creature.
All I'm going to say is guess. Out of the three things that you said there, something is right.
Watch this space, folks. Thank you, Nigel. It's lovely.
Thank you so much for chatting to us. It's been great.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me.